The question that I have for you this morning is, do you have a good and honest heart? Jesus, in teaching the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, talked about the seed of the Word of God falling on a good and honest heart. Do you have that, friend, today? We're glad that you've joined the study this morning. Stay with us on the Let the Bible Speak program. Let's look at a good and honest heart. We typically associate honesty with telling the truth. Someone who does not tell a lie, or someone who does not cheat or steal. He or she is an honest individual, and it would certainly include that. But honesty also involves what is fair and right and sincere. Honesty also involves the idea of someone who is just simply straightforward, open, frank, an open approach to truth and all things that are good. I believe a person can tell the truth on an occasion and still not have an honest and good heart. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, having talked about the seed of the Word of God falling on different kinds of hearts, some of which do not want the Word of God, we find in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, and that seed that is in the good ground, these are such as an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. We learn from this parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, and also the parallel accounts in Matthew chapter 13, 23, and Mark chapter 4 and verse 20, we learn what an honest and good heart is. The parallel passages help us to understand that Jesus is talking about one's attitude toward receiving the Word of God. What is your attitude toward receiving the Word of God? I think the fact that you're still with us on the program this morning and haven't changed the dial on your radio, or if you're listening electronically online, you haven't gone somewhere else, that shows to some degree that you want to hear the Word of God, and we're glad that you're still with us. Some would hear a religious message or a Bible message or a spiritual message, and they would immediately turn it off, and we want to wait until the music comes back on. We're not interested in Bible things, but the fact that you're still listening right now shows that you have a great attitude toward wanting to study Bible things. You have a good attitude toward receiving the Word of God. And so this morning, let's answer the question, do you have a good and honest heart? Am I a good and honest person when it comes to hearing the Word of God? There are four things that we learn about the heart from this passage in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15 and its parallel accounts. First of all, we learn that it's important to have an attentive heart. Jesus talks about those who hear the word and accept it. They're listening. They're paying attention. They want to know more. So they have, number one, an attentive heart. Number two, they have a discerning heart. This person hears the word and understands it. Again, bringing in the parallel accounts. A discerning heart. You want to know more. You want to learn. You're not just hearing words, but you want to understand what they mean so that you can do something with it. Number three, a good and honest heart is a convicted heart. They believe what the words are saying, the words that they understand, the words of Scripture, and they hold it fast, Luke says. Hold it fast. Hold on to it. Believe it. Obey it. Put it into practice in their life. And then number four, the good and honest heart is a productive heart. It brings forth fruit with patience. And of course, the fruit symbolic here of obedience to the Word of God and producing the fruit of good works and obedience in the Christian life? Do you have a good and honest heart, friend? Do I? Not everyone does. I want to look at a few examples in the New Testament of individuals who didn't have a good and honest heart. And then we're going to close this morning with seven signs of a person who has an honest and good heart. Seven characteristics. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But not everybody has a good and honest heart. Jesus, for example, faced those who were dishonest. He would try to talk with them, and they didn't want to have anything to do with the truth. They wouldn't listen. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 25, the baptism of John, whence was it? Jesus asked those around him, from heaven or from men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why then did you not believe him? But if we will say from men, we fear the multitude, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we know not. That's not honest. Turn with me to John chapter 7. There's different places in the book of John where Jesus tried to talk, especially with the Jews around him, and they didn't want anything to do with it. John chapter 7 and verse 46, the officers answered, never man, speaking of Jesus, never man so spake. The Pharisees therefore answered, are you also led astray? Hath any of the rulers believed on him, Jesus, or of the Pharisees? But this multitude that knoweth not the law are accursed. In John chapter 9 and verse 27, he answered them, I told you even now, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Would you also become his disciples? The blind man says to the Jews. John chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. The Jews therefore came round about him and said unto him, how long do you hold us in suspense? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. And we could go on, other examples in John chapter 11, John chapter 12. Jesus faced those who were dishonest. Peter and John faced those who were dishonest. When Peter and John healed the lame man in Acts chapter 3, they continued preaching about the resurrected Christ there in the city of Jerusalem, and the Jewish leaders didn't like that. They didn't like them healing and preaching in the name of Jesus, healing in the name of Jesus. And so they arrest Peter and John and put them in prison. The first thing they do is threaten them, and then later put them in prison. And they try to stop what they're doing. But notice in Acts chapter 4, they're just not being honest. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 16, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been wrought through them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. We can't deny the truth of what's happened. It's a notable open miracle. The man was clearly healed. Many people knew him. Many people knew that he had a real problem. It wasn't a fake. It wasn't a fake miracle, and it wasn't a fake problem. And it's clear that he's been healed. We can't do anything about it. Let's threaten them and tell them not to preach anymore. That's just dishonest. And they continued along that same line. and then eventually they throw them in prison and tell them not to preach or teach. But Peter and John get out. They go back to preaching in the temple. They say, we must obey God rather than men. People are just dishonest. Stephen faced those who were dishonest when he preached in Acts chapter 7. We come down to verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute, and they killed them that showed before the coming righteous one, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers, you who received the law as it was ordained by angels and kept it not. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Come on down to verse 7. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. We're just going to stop our ears. We don't want to hear anymore. Paul faced those who were dishonest. Again, we're not talking in this context about someone who's telling a lie. That's another way to be dishonest. We're talking about when someone hears truth and they refuse to accept it. They know it's right, but they refuse to accept it and obey it. That is it as dishonest. In Acts chapter 14, turn with me there, when Paul is preaching in Iconia and Lystra in that region, we find in Acts 14 and verse 2, the Jews that were disobedient stirred up the souls of the Gentiles and made them evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore they tarried, speaking boldly in the Lord, who bare witness unto the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was made an onset, both of the Gentiles and of the Jews, with their rulers to treat them shamefully and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled into the city of Lyconia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the region round about. And there they preached the gospel. We don't want it. And we're going to stir up other people against the apostles, and we're going to treat them shamefully and try to stone them. We're going to resort to violence, and that happens today. When you try to talk with people about the truth of different matters, they yell, they form a mob mentality, they start pushing and shoving and engaging in acts of violence and hitting people. We see that on the news with regard to political discussions, other kinds of discussions. When people are dishonest, when they hear the truth, they block it out and resort to all kinds of ungodly behavior. Turn over a few chapters to Acts chapter 19, when Paul is preaching in the city of Ephesus, Acts 19 verse 9, when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way, or Christians, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Hardened and disobedient. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Acts 24 and verse 25, when Paul is preaching before Felix, he reasoned with him of righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. And Felix was terrified and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me." He knew what he needed to do. He just procrastinated and put it off. And Agrippa, two chapters over in Acts 26 and verse 28, he said, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." This is a defense mechanism that people put up to the truth that they know is right. They either ignore it or harden themselves or procrastinate or put it off or say, you almost got me. They're being intellectually dishonest for just a moment inside themselves. And that's a thing that I want to talk about this morning. We've got to have an honest and good heart, Jesus said. And that's when the truth hits it. We don't reject and harden ourselves. We just honestly accept the truth of it and give in and go with the truth and be obedient. Honesty is just simply, again, sincere, straightforward, open, fair with what we've just heard. And if we'll be like that, the Word of God can work great things in our life and we'll bear fruit for the Lord. The problem is not that we don't understand truth. The problem is we understand truth very clearly, but there's a split second there where we're going to be just open and honest about it, or we're going to be deceitful and harden ourselves quickly so that we don't have to change our life and bring it in conformity to the truth. In the time that we have remaining, let's look at seven characteristics or seven signs of an honest and good heart. And as we go down through here, you can ask yourself, do I have an honest and good heart? And hopefully we'll be honest when trying to answer the question, are we honest? Number one, an honest and good heart seeks truth in all matters. It doesn't matter what it is. I want to know the truth of it. Of course, we're applying it today in spiritual and religious matters, truth that comes from God's Word. But really, that should be our attitude in anything. What is true in the political realm? What is true in the natural realm? What is true in science or math or other things? We always want to know what is true, but most importantly, what is truth with regard to our soul and our relationship to God? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, when he was preaching the word of God in Thessalonica, he said, "You received from us the word of the message, even the word of God. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worketh in you that believes." You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. It actually is the word of God. In 2 Thessalonians, he comes back to the idea of truth in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. God sends a working of error that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Back in verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. We should love truth and seek truth in all matters of our life. If that's the way you are, then you are on the way to having an honest and good heart. But if you are more of tell me a lie, I don't care what it'll do to me, then we're not going to be honest and good. Seeks truth in all matters. Number two, an honest and good heart investigates before making a decision. I want to know what is truth, and there's all different voices out there. There's all different kinds of people saying all different kinds of things. And so just like I would investigate before I buy a house or before I buy a car or invest in something major with regard to my soul's salvation and eternity, I'm going to investigate what I'm hearing. And I would want you to do that with everything that I say here on the Let the Bible Speak program. And please bring to my attention anytime, please contact me if I have said something that is wrong regarding the Word of God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul comes to Berea, he finds that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica where he had just been. And we're told why. they receive the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. They wanted to test what Paul was saying. Was that true or not? We have to discern between what is right and wrong, what is good and what is not good. Discernment, Philippians 1, verse 10. Testing all things, holding fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21. We need to have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. We need to test or try the spirits or the teachers. 1 John 4, 1. Investigate before making a final decision. And that means getting our Bible open and checking everything that is being said by the speaker. Sometimes televangelists say things and we won't check it out. And people, religious people, will come by our neighborhood and knock on the door and we won't check it out. And people say all kinds of things on radio programs like this and the internet and from pulpits, and all kinds of books are written and different things, and people just accept it hook, line, and sinker, we say, so to speak. But investigate. Get our Bible open and check out what is being said. An honest and good heart will do that. We don't have our mind already made up. You've heard that expression, my mind is already made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. People are like that. Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't confuse me with the truth. My mind is already made up. But no, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to investigate and keep an open mind. Number three, a sign of an honest and good heart is someone who desires harmony in what is written in the Bible. We're going to take all of what is said in the Word of God, and we're going to obey all of it. We're going to do all of it. We want to hear everything. When Peter came to the household of Cornelius, he said, we're all here. We've come together. Acts 10:33. Now therefore we are all present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord. We want to hear everything, not just what we want to hear, not just our favorite things that we already agree with. But if there's something in the Word of God that I haven't learned, I need to learn it. If there's something I haven't done, I need to do it. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 26, Apollos was speaking some good things, but he needed to be corrected. He needed to learn more truth. And Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. Acts 18:26. A good and honest heart, if we're talking about a religious person that knows something about the Bible, they're willing to learn all that they need to do to be saved, all that they need to do to stay saved. We want all of God's teaching. We want the whole counsel of God, as Paul preached in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Preaching the whole counsel of God. And so I desire to hear more if I'm lacking. Number four, an honest and good heart shows willingness to get help in understanding the truth of God's Word. We all, myself included, learn from others. We grow. We get help by talking with others who are well acquainted with the Word of God. And I think about Philip, who was preaching to the eunuch from Isaiah chapter 53. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, we read about that account where Philip ran to this man who's riding along in a chariot. And Philip says, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch said, how can I except one shall guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this. It was Isaiah 53 about the suffering of Jesus. And Philip goes on to preach Jesus to him. And the eunuch said, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? He had obviously got to the matter of baptism and the importance of that. But he said, the text says, he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. I want to learn more. And we just read about Apollos. Apollos could have said to Priscilla and Aquila, hey, I'm a preacher. I don't need any help. I don't need any further instruction. You can't help me. I'm smart and that type of thing. I'm educated. An honest and good heart shows willingness to get help in understanding the Word of God more. And that's a great attitude to have. When we start shutting down and we say, I don't want help. I don't want to look elsewhere in the Bible and study anything. I don't want to investigate. My mind's already made up. Then we don't have an honest and good heart. Number five, an honest and good heart repents as soon as it is convicted of wrong. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. And they were told to repent and be baptized. And they received his word, verse 41. They were pricked in their heart. The message got to them. And they repented and they were baptized, some 3,000. What a great attitude. Repents as soon as it is convicted of wrong. It doesn't wait. It doesn't delay. It doesn't try to ignore it or mask it off or compartmentalize it and keep it away. I don't want to think about it. An honest and good heart just is open about the changes that it needs to make immediately. Doesn't drag its feet. Number seven, an honest and good heart obeys divine commandments immediately. These people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? We've got to do something, and let's do it now. And they didn't delay. And that day, verse 41, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They received his word and were baptized. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, in the same hour of the night, the jailer and his family were baptized. In Acts 22:10, immediately, we find that Saul of Tarsus was baptized. Arise and be baptized, he's told in Acts chapter 22. And verse 16, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Stop waiting. And back in verse 10, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told what thou must do. And he got up and did it. And there are many other cases of that in the scripture. And then last of all, an honest and good heart walks daily in the light of truth and practices the word of God. Hears it and keeps it. Hears it and does it. James 1, 22 through 25 is a hearer and a doer. Friend, do you have an honest and good heart? If you do, you'll make the necessary changes today. If not, let's study together and let's help you to have what Jesus wants you to have. Thank you for joining us today on the program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.